and then you can take off.
Okay.
So I press record and we are live. We have 9 participants. Maybe I'll wait for one more minute. So before Eugenio launches on his presentation, let me say welcome to everybody. The news of the day is the first ever CBDC in the world has launched, which is Bahamas Sand Dollar today. It's live. So this is very interesting news. Of course, Bahamas is a very small country, but and it's only valid within the boundaries of Bahamas. But it, like the Chinese say, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step.
Yeah, and I can say in Chinese, they say Mama Lai.
So anyway, Kirti, I think I had sent out the password embedded Zoom link and also, you know, in my mail, and also it is there in the meeting agenda. So you think there are participants who are not here because they cannot get on? Is that what you think?
Yeah, we've been pretty likely.
Okay. I don't know what else I can do to facilitate this. Because whenever I send out an email announcing the talk, then I have, you know, I have the embedded Zoom link in there.
I did get the link today morning at 10 o'clock. There was an email to everyone in Hyperledger, at least Capital Markets SIG. There it shows the link.
Okay. That's beautiful. Thank you, Mani. Now, before we, just a couple of things. One is that we are operating under the antitrust policy of the Linux Foundation. And the second point is that we are also under the Hyperledger Code of Conduct, which means a couple of things. One is the that we respect each other, and are even when disagreeing with others. The other point is that we need to properly credit others and allow people room to ask questions and to talk. So that's said. I think Eugenio is in confinement because things have gone south in Italy, and they are requiring that people stay at home. So he's, even though he's at home, he's going to do this presentation. Thanks for joining. And Eugenio, please take it away.
Okay. First of all, thank you, Vipin, for the opportunity. And I hope everybody joining us today will be very interested in hearing me. Very quick first introduction. My name is Eugenio. I've been working in China for a couple of years, basically in investments in corporate and financial investment. I'm joining the Hyperledger community since a couple of years, 1 year more or less. And I'm focusing on the finance application. And I took a chance during this lockdown to start a project focusing on the Chinese operation in DLT and in finance industry. So in this lecture, I will try to outline the, actually on my point of view, the three pillars over which the national project, the national corporation will start revamp and change the financial market. And these are essentially the BSN, the blockchain service network infrastructure, the DC, the CDBC prototype that is actually in testing phase in China, in mainland, in a few zone of mainland China. And I will finish on the, giving some highlights on the special implementations in terms of administrations that are promoting these two pillars. I hope everybody is can see the screen. I will start. Is it okay, Vipin?
Yes, it is fine. Okay. You should go into presentation mode if you can.
Okay. Yes. It was just a check. Here there is the. I started the presentation speaking about a very few quick policies that at national level are supporting DLT application in finance. There is a 5-year national informatization plan that China set up to establish national standards and policy frameworks. The idea is to create a national sandbox for the blockchain application in finance. And actually these standards have been implemented and published this year at the beginning. And you may find here the reference GRT 0184/2020. If you, maybe even if you Google it, you may find some reference. This is basically a key milestone for the finance application in China of DLT, because it is like a short text of indicating the roadmaps in terms of definition, in terms of hardware and software requirements, in terms of also application layer and consumer API and so on. Of course, China as a nation is joining also the international institutions like ISO that are working more at international level, and this is for technical standards. For main operational standards, you may see here outlined the most important operational frameworks that interface with the international settlement from renminbi to foreign value money. Here you may see the most important, and the most important and the one that I've stressed here, institutions that are involved in blockchain business industry. The first is the cyber administration of China that is regulating the blockchain service providers and basically all the business operations in terms of software development of blockchain industry in China. Of course, over the China administration of cyber administration of China, there is the Ministry of Industry and Information Technology. That is the I would say the reference from the politics that is driven the political guidelines over this industry with a focus on finance industry. There is People Bank of China that is in charge basically in finance of these two national projects. One is the DCIP and the second one is more related to trade finance operations, but we will not cover this topic today. And this blockchain service network instead is actually a multi-framework, multi-chain, multi-ledger blockchain system. That this definition is everything and means everything and nothing. The intent of this project is to provide the architecture layer for DLT development in different kind of industry. Of course, finance will find some restriction in terms of capability of free development because it's a very sensitive sector, but due to the fact that it's a national project, it's just started and will be developed the national infrastructure layer for mainland operation. Here are the founders, actually the founders of the initiative, but and these are just the reference because day after day, new members are joining the project from national public administration to private administration corporation. Which are the key parts of this infrastructure? The first one, I would say, and the more strategic one are public city nodes that are, I would say, the endpoints for DLT developers to build some DLT application around the smart cities in China. You may see here that BSN has also an international strategic plans, development plan. And we don't know a lot of about this. We know that we'll be ruling with different restrictions, of course, in order to be compliant with international, for instance, policy in terms of privacy and data management. But we, if the, we know that BSN at, in mainland is fully operated, we know that the progress for the international operation is still in early stage phase, I would say. Of course, another key part of this element is a blockchain framework. We have different kind of framework, permissionless and permissioned framework. And of course, Hyperledger, I think it's finding a key roles within the project because it is able to connect overseas DLT application, maybe will be for sure able to connect this DLT application, maybe developed internationally into the Chinese marketplace. This is happening because the Hyperledger consents to have some tools in terms of encryption that consent the data to perform into the Chinese market. And of course, another key part of this project are the BSN portals that are actually the selling point of BSN and DLT application over BSN. Here you may see collected the main participants, blockchain framework and users, and cloud service provider. It's another key point on the value of this initiative is the fact that all the clouds, main cloud service provider internationally joined the project in addition to the Chinese one. And I would say from a corporate development point of view, we can swift the project in two layers. The first one is the BSN Alliance that is actually an interoperability protocol that connect different interoperability solution. And this will be like the road for connecting different kinds of DLT frameworks and networks. Yeah. On the other side, we have the Open Chain Consortium that will be in charge of managing the operation and the settlement over the BSN project. I would like to take a break. If anybody has some question, please to ask for.
Very interesting. I was interested in the international aspect of this because I know that Michael Song from Red Date.
Yes.
Have been talking to Julian of Hyperledger and others. And do you have any more information on this?
Yeah, there actually we are, I can say we because I'm supporting directly Michael on this this starting operation. And I will be joining his company very soon in terms of business development operation. We are now in the phasing of closing very huge number of strategic partnerships with, but they are more in finance industry than in IT industry. I cannot say much many more information about this for now, but what I can say is that the international development of the BSN is, even if it's still in the early stage, it's growing very fast because it's actually a unique opportunity. And it is opening a very important slice of the market in terms of DLT in connecting overseas DLT solution and Chinese DLT solutions.
I know that, for example, in BSN, the native support is there for, let's say, Hyperledger, Fabric, and several others. Many of them have been derived from Hyperledger Fabric. It's not, you know, even though they have Chinese names, some of them have been derived from Hyperledger Fabric. So it's very interesting that Hyperledger Fabric is the premier, one of the premier networks supported inside China. So one of the ways in which they are doing this is using the allowing, you know, having everybody conform to the same standard for cryptography, that is the Chinese standard. Do you know anything more about how they will interface that with the global, with the international standards, because Chinese cryptography may not be accepted in other countries?
Yes, what I can say is that we are we have been supporting by different tools, open source tools that provide us the capability to interface and manage different kind of encryption worldwide.
Okay, because when checking, for example, the signatures, you have to, if money is being transferred from, or anything of value is being transferred across countries, then one cryptography standard operates in one country and the others, you know, so you have to have that continuity. Which open source tools are you using? Do you know?
We are, for instance, you may see, but okay, because I've skipped a few slides, so probably it's missing. We are, for instance, we are partnering with DML for the DML. Smart contract. Yeah, DML. Okay. We are partnering with, there are a few international partners, but I cannot disclose here until I don't have the permission for that, okay?
Okay.
So that my idea is, and this is what I want to convey, is the fact that we are using open source solutions and interoperability solution in terms of finance application to provide international settlements and international interoperability application of DLT framework.
Okay, we'll talk more about that. I think yeah. We'll continue.
Yeah. Here I am. I've been enlisting a couple of Chinese blockchain as a service provider that are actually working and are involved in the alliance of the BSN and alliancing with strategic partners. You may see China UnionPay, Ant Group, and WeBank. They are all, even if they are not maybe just a member of BSN, they are partnering with strategic partners of us. So it's like the key point is that BSN is a national project. So it's it is used to support each other industry together. Also JD and OneWay and Baidu is also very very, 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 very connected with BSM. That is actually ending my side of on my side for BSM, and I will move on DSEEP. Okay. DSEEP is actually a project that started around 6 years ago. And it took a long phase of research. It is based on the assumption that China is basically the largest digitized market for in terms of sovereign identity, and so in terms of possibility to execute digitized transactions. Here you may see a very brief introduction. The intent is to fully replace paper cash in 10, 15 years, according to news information. These are all my suggestions, because you know that there is no official white paper about this solution yet. My statement is it possible to replace the paper cash in 10, 15 years? According to my working experience and life experience in China, I think yes. What are the main intents of this initiative? Okay, strengthening the financial infrastructure by promoting competition into payment market, monitoring the fund flows, and internationalization of RMB. Here you may see very, very bad, I will say, images from my side of this. A double structure of the design. The design of it's like a CDBC backed one-on-one by deposit reserves. It is the circulation is based on a two-tier system that is defined by the central bank that is issuing to the commercial bank that are actively issuing the services to the endpoints or electronic wallets. One of the key features of course, the concept is the registration center that is actually recording the DSEEP transaction and the whole life cycle of the instant circulation and redemption of the CDBC. The system is it a centralized ledger, and so it's not a DLT 100% DLT solution. Of course, this project embraced some tools of DLT technology, like for instance hands hash function and sorry and encryption. The idea is that the financial market, of course, is a sensitive sector, so we need 100% governance on a centralized ledger. So there is no need for a consensus algorithm as well. One of the probably most interesting tool of the DSEEP is the loose account coupling system. That is actually connected to the system that is embodying this solution. It is actually a tokenized model. And actually the hash function is hiding the information of the customer, of the owner of the wallets to the commercial banks. And in fact, the information are only be available to the central banks that and it can be accessed only for specific reasons. It is based on unspent transaction output, and yeah, it's actually the I would say the key point is to use the central bank as the pivot of the banking operation, and to shift to the commercial bank position into operating system providers. The wallets, yeah, the wallets are of course interfacing with the end user solutions. They are pairing. I understand that maybe a few of us they know about this information, but I found interesting to share with also the ones that are not all in the involved in the topic. So wallets collects of course pair of public and private key, so they manage the encryption solutions, and wallet are operated by commercial banks or by non-financial institution were working as a custodian position into the operation. And offline transfer between user and recharger payment will be provided by AT mobile or POS system mobile leveraged by QR code. What are the main impacts on commercial banks? Commercial banks will play a key role in the, again, in the role of the issuance on and redemption of DC, and will provide wallets to the user to implement the KYC procedure. Of course, DC is a central liability to the public, and this means that the user deposit in wallets are off the balance sheet in terms of commercial banks. That is one of the my question. Is it possible to connect the DC through the registration center over the PSN? My suggestion is that is it possible for me? And we will see in the future concretely. As I very briefly stressed before, the third payment solution like Alipay, WeChat Pay, can be involved in the CP operation because they could act as a custodian position within the DC operation. And the settlement, it's actually involved this kind of proceedings. In the final stage, I think I will move through the some use case that can support renminbi internationalization. I would say three scenarios. The first one is renminbi as a settlement currency for international trade. So, you know, renminbi as a money for international trade operations. The second one, it's renminbi used for investment and financing operation cross border. And the third one is, and I think it's the most rare one, it's renminbi as an international reserve currency. This is another topic I decided to head into the research because it's still a rumor, but it can open very wide scenarios in the future. So it has been reported in several very first-tier information centers and newspaper in China about this proposal of creating a cross-border trade backed by reserve fund and CDBC projects in Hong Kong. Actually, it's still, of course, a rumor, and so there is no official statement about that, I think, but it's very suggesting. It's very suggesting. One of the key points in trying to summing up all this information, and I'm trying to do my best, and understand that it can be a bit confusing, but you may see that I'm still in the middle of the presentation, so I'm trying to do my best. Of course, DC has a strategic role in order to make easier the business operation for foreign people that are coming to China in order to collect as much as fund as possible. And so even if DC now it is mainly involved in the mainland operation, it is very likely that we'll find a place for cross-border operation as well. Another key point that I found very interesting is about a very, very easy comparison with Libra. I would say that, of course, the difference is Libra is a fully decentralized solution. DCIP is not a fully decentralized solution. DCIP is using the People's Bank of China Asset Reserve. So it's fully on renminbi. Libra is using a basket of currency as its asset reserve. And of course, another difference is that DCIP is working as a money zero solution, just as a money zero solution, instead, and does not, sorry, involve money one and money two solution. Instead, Libra could theoretically work on this. And of course, on the debt position, Libra Association is not central bank. Lastly, about the pilot project, about few bullet points about what's happening. I said to you, now the DCIP is in testing phase in a few zones of mainland China. And it has been issued as a statement that on the 2022, the DCIP will be tested in the Beijing Winter Olympic as a first step of first international use, because a lot of foreigners will be coming to China, hopefully, if coronavirus stops. You will see that DCIP is involving the most important commercial banks in China, like Agricultural Bank of China, China Construction Bank, and ICBC. How the People's Bank of China is trying to develop this this product. First of all, is setting up fintech company in a specific free trade zone. With this free trade zone, have a pilot sandbox of provision and regulation that gives much more free use of an easy use of funds to develop innovative financial services. This zone basically are all in the eastern side of China, along Beijing, Shanghai, and Zhejiang, and of course the Greater Bay Area that is belonging to Shenzhen and Hong Kong. Another key point is, of course, in the last weeks we have seen the first use case of DCIP in the Greater Bay Area, and due to the Mid-Autumn Festival, this electronic money system has been tested to the public, has been sent to red envelope to the public. And actually, this was the first user on retail use of DCIP. And finishing the slide to the DCIP, I'm just making a few suggestions. We've seen that BSN is collecting DLT application overseas, and it is collecting data off chain by oracles. So my suggestion is these kind of solution can be used also to record DC project data on registration centers and be used as tools in order to account transaction over PSN. Of course, we don't have the answer yet, also because DC and BSN are still separate project managed by different state administration, but we can see a vision in the future, let's put it this way. Here are a few suggestions over and a few information over the main strategic development areas over which the DCIP has been testing. The first one you may see it's Beijing, Tianjin, Hebei. The second one is called the Yangtze River Delta and it's embracing Shanghai and the Zhejiang province as a core of this development area. And the third one is the Pearl River Delta Greater Bay Area. It's involving mainly Shenzhen, Guangzhou, and Hong Kong. Here you may see the position. It's very strategic. It's creating like a belt over the eastern side of China that is still the most advanced one. Even if, for instance, BSN project is developing very, very fast in the western area of China because it is used as a tool to scale up the applications in different industries. So now we see also other provinces like Jiangxi province, Fujian province to join BSN. Here are very few information about each zone because I think that is important for everybody also connected with specific financial and industrial reference into this zone. Of course, Beijing is the is known as a political and educational and cultural R&D center. Beijing is also issuing a very special regulation over DLT application in terms of business development projects and in terms of regulation, provision, and data management chain. Tianjin is also very well known in China because it's a very important logistics center in the north. There is one huge port that is, for instance, involved in main trade finance operation and logistics. After that, Yangtze River Delta, I've already said the Shanghai, it's a main core in Zhejiang, where Zhejiang, by the way, is in Zhejiang, there have been, you may find Hangzhou, that is the capital city for technology in terms of capital of Ant Group and other DLT solution like Hyperchain. Finally, the Pearl River Delta area, of course, you may see Shenzhen and Guangzhou and Hong Kong. This slide, I like it very much. I call it suggested goal. This is like my vision, okay? My vision is that China is trying to stop building a seamless data flow running within the national administration network. This network will be orientated by BSN city nodes over the backbone connection hubs belonging to different kind of governments and administration, okay? And initiative in finance like DCIP, even if centralized managed, could be recalled within the networks. At the moment, as I said before, Beijing is taking the lead in issuing the first national projects and regulation in terms of DLT application projects. You may see here different kind of projects in real estate, banking, logistics, cross-border train, e-government, billing. There are actually 12, but I think that now the number has been increased of pilot business case that connect administration, corporation, institution, working within an industry in order to develop DLT platform and solution. The Beijing International Big Data Exchange. This is actually a quite new statement from the municipality of Beijing. And it's about this huge big data center that should support and the national implementation of the, sorry, not the national implementation, the implementation of the national project like DCEP and the trade finance platform. This plan has five different functional platforms: an information registration data, a transaction platform, an operation management platform, and I would say a financial service platform. These involve different kind of, the transaction involves different kind of operation in terms of data asset and ownerships, data use right and registration. And of course, it may involve, this is a statement, of course, it's because of cross-border operation are operated by the state administration for an exchange. So it is likely that also the state administration for an exchange will be able to implement this and to interact with this big data exchange. In Shanghai, we may see instead the blockchain alliance involving mainly financial institution and logistic and a retail institution in order to provide better trade and financial service operations. In Shenzhen, we have a very interesting case for e-government building projects. And of course, due to the fact that it is actually the only 5G network, fully networking coverage city of China, it will be on the first line of the most advanced city of China. My conclusion. My vision is that BSN could be the engine for the architecture of the Chinese internationalization in terms of DLT. DC will provide a centralized management solution tool from Money0 as a first financial layer of the economy. And through BSN and through his architecture, many DLT applications providing maybe Money 1 or Money 2 or Money 3 services will be developed. Of course, the ending conclusion is that this will lead to a digital finance ecosystem and market that could support also national investment strategies like One Belt, One Road initiative. I try to sum all in 13 minutes and I hope you enjoyed.
Very comprehensive and integrated across all sectors. Yeah. Beautiful presentation. And of course, the presentation will be available as a link from our meeting minutes. The next section will be questions from the audience. Please do not hesitate to ask Eugenio questions. Thank you. I can't believe that there's nobody asking questions. Brian?
Well, Vipin, if you're going to put me on the spot. great presentation. I apologize for coming in towards the tail end of this. Let's see. I'm curious about timing. And I apologize if you got to this before I showed up, but I know BSN is live now. I know there's some experiments in, Shenzhen with the currency. But at what point do we really expect to see real production deployments on BSN that you can point to and say, here's something generating demonstrable value? And likewise with the currency, something that shows kind of broad adoption rather than kind of pilot phase. Is that a 2021 thing?
Yeah, actually, I think that definitely for the financial applications and products like at national level, like DCEP or the trade finance platform, the 2021 is the year. Also because there has been a public announcement about the DCEP application at the Beijing Winter Olympics. So they must be before the beginning of 2022. According to my information, the next year will be the year. And actually I can say the first semester of the next year. For BSN, instead, it's more a development process, and it may take maybe a bit more because different kind of industries are merging on this platform. So it takes also, it must take in consideration different aspects in terms of system, in general system and market application for DLT, not just in finance, but also in healthcare or in at the government level. And we see very huge difference between, for instance, Zhejiang that have Shanghai and Hangzhou, and have a very high level ecosystem and second and third tier city. So, and you can report these also international because there are different kind of issues in terms of exchanging data and developing competitive interoperable solution. But I can say that as Hyperledger, for instance, we can support 100% this operation because we also have interoperability solution in terms of interoperability networks like Hyperledger Cactus. And I hope, and actually my story is that I've been connected with the BSN because I was trying to suggesting this. And for coming back to your question, I can say that for financial application, 2021 is the year for seeing a more broader application, at least mainland. And for BSN, for sure, for the international foundation, the next year will be the starting phase.
Clive?
Okay. So my question is in regards to international settlements and the different cryptology that may be required. So let me give you a quick example. So I'm a contributor to Hyperledger Cactus, and mainly on the requirements. And so what I was imagining is that from the talk today and also looking at the requirements, there could be a Hyperledger Fabric node somewhere in China in one of the examples you've given. And there could be another Hyperledger node, Fabric node outside China. Let's say in Hong, I was gonna say Hong Kong, but that not a good example anymore. In a different, yeah, in a different country. let's say here in the States, and those
about Italy, Milan.
Yeah, Italy, Milan. Well, let's say the regulators, as in the example you've given, you know, China has got its own cryptology standards, and Italy's got a different standard that the government is requiring there, or they're just using the default cryptology that shipped with the system. And then in the middle is Cactus, which is working to do the integration of the settlements to mm-hmm. pass some information between the two systems. So what should the Cactus cryptology look like? Does it use its own cryptology, cryptographic standards? Does it use the standards from China, the standards from Italy? Does it need to have like swappable cryptographic?
Yeah, I think you hit the point. Actually, in order to provide interoperability, we need to find a solution that can be modified and adjusted with different standards in order to use being used as a settlement token, okay, for the different, for instance, CDBC solution. I have seen some solution on based on Ethereum, and I'm just suggesting, okay, that maybe the applicability of Hyperledger Bizu within Hyperledger Cactus could provide something similar.
Okay.
But I'm not a technics on this. That's the point. So
he's a business guy.
Yeah.
It sounds like it sounds like we do need something which is swappable or some sort of standard.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Karim had raised his hand, but I don't know if they still.
Yeah, I was not sure I would have time to ask the question. My question is more relative about the usage and mass adoption, because in China, Alipay and WeChat are already well implemented, and basically we are cashless here in country. So do you think it's more going to stay for cross-border payment or intra-bank payment, or there is a real appetite to move and challenge WeChat and Alipay in China?
My vision is that the DCIP and that works at money zero, and maybe cross-border or in terms of supply chain finance solution provided by Ali Ant Group or Tencent may interact with DCIP over a DLT architecture like BSN. In terms of business operation, they can work in terms of from financial point of view, they can work as taking a custody position. So support the speed efficiency of the transaction for DLT application.
My understanding is that Alipay and WeChat Pay are required to support DCEP.
Exactly.
Meaning the wallets have to be designed to support DCEP. In fact, I think one of the compelling reasons for DCEP was the threatening position taken by Alipay and WeChat Pay in terms of the retail payment infrastructure, because they were doing something like $60 to $70 trillion worth of retail payments, and they had captured more than 60-70% of the transaction space.
Yes, exactly. In fact, they already manage the market in terms of retail operation. So they, of course, they need to be compliant. They have to be compliant with, but there's no need to compete each other. I don't see this.
Yeah, but it also must be because otherwise there would be systemic risks, because if you are private operators control 70% of 80% of your payment infrastructure, then there would be systemic risk. And I think one of the compelling reasons for DECP is to challenge this and to provide alternate rails. In fact, this is stated in every European paper on central bank digital currency. Mm-hmm. That to provide a alternative payment rail.
Yes.
Any more questions, guys? We have come to the end of a delightful hour. Please engage with Eugenio on the mailing list or elsewhere. My grateful thanks to Eugenio for showing up and giving such a comprehensive overview of the long game, because that's what it is.
Thank you.
I did not realize that this is not some game that is going to be played in 1 or 2 years, but over long time, and that has been the Chinese view always. They have been working on this for 6 years. We only have people saying, oh, they are looking into the possibility of working on it in the US and elsewhere. Anyway, beautiful, and also coincides with the release of the Sand Dollar, which is first sovereign CBDC to be released. Thanks.
My pleasure, and thank you again, Vipin. And I would like to conclude my contribution to say that everybody is interesting. The full report of the research will be published soon, and will be available on the Capital Market SIG and the Trade Finance SIG. Thank you.
Beautiful, thank you.
Thanks, Eugenio. And I will try to catch you out offline. We'd be interested to discuss with you. And thanks for the presentation.
Please interact with him on Hyperledger Capital Markets SIG mailing list, because it will be instructive to all of us.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.